Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Go to ZipRecruiter.com and our listeners can post a job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/go. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode, what do you do when the Ouija board you're trying to get rid of keeps coming back? A listener shares a cautionary tale of why it's important to respect the dead. Something tries to get revenge of teens, a trespass in a notoriously haunted town. And a listener's sleep paralysis has someone very familiar that is doing the terrorizing. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
Someone very familiar to, like, the general public or, like, someone within their life?
No, somebody within their life.
It's, okay.
It's a sleep paralysis where the thing that's scaring them to death is somebody they're related to.
Okay, so it's not like, holy shit, John Candy's showing up, and you know.
No.
It's like, that's awesome. I wasn't quite sure. Looking forward to all that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email in your audio file if you want to record it that way on your mobile device. It's Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online, if you'd like to send that in to us. Should make a little note here. Tomorrow's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, in the sequential order that these are being released in, I know this because I actually posted tomorrow's episode already. It's not for public download yet, but I got it into the system.
Okay.
Is going to be a preview, a full episode preview. It's actually episode number 2 of Dream Meanings.
Okay.
The new podcast that I've been working on. There's more than 2 episodes that already our EPPs might have already listened to them at ghostpodcast.com. In the coming weeks, months, they will be released normally, like through iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube or whatever. But as it's being developed, it's exclusively for EPPs for the most part. But I wanted to put out one of the episodes for everybody to take a listen to and participate in as well. So
Very cool.
There's a whole phone number there. There's a website there. So that's what's going on tomorrow in the space of our episode. To take a listen to and enjoy, and please do participate. Send your dream story in. It's the same way we do it here, except different phone number, different website, and then it's talked about on that show. So check it out tomorrow. I hope you enjoy it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, and I shouldn't eat stale popcorn right before I'm about to read ghost stories.
Are you dried out, or is it stuck in your teeth?
It gets stuck in my throat. I feel like there's a little party of popcorn kernels, or mm-hmm. the skins just kind of lingering.
Sorry.
Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger? Sheila writes in, I'm a new listener to the show. I'm becoming an EPP. I have many stories. I'm sensitive and have been since I can remember. I plan to call in other stories as well. Here's a touch of what I went through. This experience has always sat very heavy with me. I was born and raised in New York, now in Arizona, and things still happen. I used to live in an old Amish house that had a farm and an old barn. I lived there with my younger sister, my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and two cousins. We found an old Ouija board in the closet and decided, why not mess around? I was 9 or 10 at the time, myself, my sister, my cousin, who was 12 at the time. We sat down at the kitchen table and started playing with the board. We barely put our fingers on the board, and we asked if anyone was there with us. It went to say yes. I asked if there was a child, and it moved to yes again. We kept asking questions, and as we continued, this girl who was talking with us spelled out, scared, and a breeze came through and blew out the candles. We were all speechless and decided to call it a night. We all slept in the same room. I was lying there that night and staring across the room at my cousin Jamie lying there. I started to doze off, and suddenly I became cold, like ice cold. I pulled the covers up and just couldn't get warm. I went out to yell for my mom, but nothing came out. I couldn't speak. I was starting to panic, and then I could feel hands on my ankles. I was pulled from my bed and laid there in the floor. I thought maybe I was having a nightmare and was sleeping and fell out of bed. As soon as I hit the floor, I was warm again. Stood up, jumped back in bed, and laid there, saying it was a nightmare. Next morning, I woke up and went to breakfast. I was walking out of my room, and my mom asked me what was wrong with my ankles. I had no idea what she was talking about. I looked down and saw red, raw indents in my skin. It looked like my ankles had been wrapped in barbed wire. I told my mom what happened, and she hugged me and said it would be okay. She threw away the Ouija board. Me and my cousin went outside after breakfast and walked to the barn. Got in there. I could see something in the shadows. I swear to God, this thing had horns and beady red eyes. We screamed and ran back to the house. We never spoke of it again. That night we went to bed and the same thing happened, but to Jamie this time. I watched and laid there in horror, not moving. I was still and don't even remember breathing. I went to sleep after she got back to bed and remember crying myself to sleep that night. The next morning she had 3 scratches on her calf. We told my mom and aunt and they both said that we had to stop messing with the Ouija board. I told them we haven't. My mom opened the door and there was the Ouija board sitting on the doorstep like we had never threw it away. These nights continued for a few weeks. My mom and aunt would check on us over every morning. Scratches showed up in my back, Jamie's neck, and always in slashes of 3 lines. My mom cleansed the house after the scratches showed up on my neck. The activity stopped for a month, but that was the beginning of the following 3 years of my life. We lived there for 3 more years. There were so many more stories, and this was my experience when I realized I was sensitive. But I was being tortured every night. Thank you for your time. I love your show and hope to talk soon.
So what do you do when it won't go away?
I don't know. Burn it? Bury it?
I would bury it.
I would try the burying first. Mm-hmm. What if you just chop it up and bury it? Is that the same as burning it? Burning, I mean, if you chopped it up, it could be put back together.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
I would just bury it.
Yeah. That's creepy. We'd love to hear what happens in the coming weeks and months. When I was just doing Facebook Live earlier, someone had posted the question of they took a nightstand and they didn't chalk paint it like you would. They Ouija'd it.
Okay.
They painted a Ouija board on it. And since she did it, she said they've been having weird things going on around the house. Nothing major, just kind of like, you know, electrical. Mm-hmm. Flickers and things of that nature. And she said she had never used it as a Ouija board, but it was just there and these things were happening.
You set things on a nightstand and mm-hmm. I wonder if accidentally that could work as a planchette.
Without the intention though of using, I mean, you just put your cup of water down at night and start spelling out shit.
I don't know.
Spells it, drink more water.
I'm trying to figure it out because if just having it mm-hmm. seems to have sparked, you know, activity, I don't know. I think maybe something could have accidentally awoken it.
Because my thought was, you know, just having the object is not usually the thing. It's more so using the object, you know? So like, well, if you haven't used it yet, don't use it and maybe it'll be okay. But if you've used it, it's maybe time to get rid of. I don't know. I mean, it makes me wonder, you know, it's a used piece. I think from what I could assume, it was an older piece. So I'm wondering, you know, could there be something already attached to it? And now you just kind of gave it a voice, essentially. You drew a mouth on it.
Well, I'm wondering, is this a piece they recently acquired with the intent to turn it into a painted piece? Or is this something they had?
I don't know. I was just kind of baffled. But that's why you don't paint Ouija boards on things. So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You know, hiring warm bodies isn't always the easiest thing. And if that's like the only qualification, you probably want somebody better than just, hey, there's a human working here. If you're a hiring manager or a business owner, you know how difficult that can be. ZipRecruiter makes it easier. It's where you can post your job and find the best candidates. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. You don't have to kind of manage them all and create a spreadsheet and powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's where you go. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. One more time, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Ashley writes in, hi all. Over the years, I've come to learn that I am very sensitive to a host of things, from dream premonitions to unwanted visitors. It all started at a very young age for me. However, one of the events that stands out most is in my mind was about 7 years ago in college. I should mention some backstory to this. I was living with my mother and her husband at the time, and my room had a closet with no closet doors. My mom thought it would be a great idea to put a pop-up canvas closet inside of the closet in my room. It was a rather sturdy, poorly engineered closet. The bar to hang your clothing was too close to the shelf inside, so getting something to hang was very difficult. I'd have to turn the hanger sideways to get it to fit in the tight space between the bar and the shelf. It took a little time and frustration hanging things. Eventually, I managed to fill the entire bar with all my hangers and clothes. And one night, very shortly after we had put the closet together, while lying in bed with the lights off, I'd been talking on the phone. It must have been around 2:30 or 3 a.m. when I got off the call. I put the phone away and turned around to face the window, my back to the closet. About 5 minutes had gone by before I heard an extremely loud crash. I couldn't exactly identify the noise and waited a moment to get up. I reached to turn on the lights, and when I turned around, all my hangers with the clothing still attached had been taken off the bar in my pop-up closet and laid out very neatly down on the floor below. There was one remaining hanger in which I had hung nothing on, and it was swinging back and forth mysteriously. It's important to note that my closet was perfectly intact. Nothing had changed about it besides the hangers being removed. I was beside myself, ran into my mother's bedroom, dragged her out of bed to show her what had happened. I didn't even have to say much, considering she had helped me put the closet together. She knew how difficult it was to remove one hanger, let alone all of them at once. She couldn't believe it and knew right away it was paranormal. The noise of the crash didn't make sense either when you look down to see all that the hangers were laid down on top of one another so very neatly. Whatever it was, she didn't enjoy the idea of a pop-up closet. I've had other occurrences with my closet and have come to learn it likes to stay open.
I think something wants to come out if it likes to stay open and it doesn't like things in its way.
It's like taking up its space.
Yeah.
So you really do have a monster in the closet.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's true. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. Have you ever had things in your closet fall, like essentially hangers or bars holding things up?
I really haven't. And, No. I mean, if I have, I think it was something that could have been just attributed to something that was put away poorly.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying it was paranormal. I'm just asking you if you've ever had that incident occur.
Not that stands out in my mind, so no.
It's an unsettling experience. I remember in my apartment in Michigan, it had the wire bracket type hangers that I did not install. These are they're there when I got the apartment. And I had a lot of clothes in there, and it was like kind of one of my only storage spaces as well. So I had some boxes that were up on top too. And I had assumed, you know, this was installed correctly, you know, into a stud or something.
Sure.
You know, like, so, you know, it's holding heavy things. Eventually it will fall if it's not done correctly. Oh, silly me for thinking that. So one day, about, 3 o'clock in the morning or so, I hear this just... Normally, it's a really quiet apartment. Just like, you know, it sounded like someone was breaking down the door. And the way that it was all positioned, the closet was kind of, it was the opposing wall of the front door. You had to kind of go around in a U-shape to get to the front hallway. But it sounded like from that direction. So I'm thinking, oh my God, somebody just broke in the front door or something, because it was so loud. And like continuous. It wasn't just like a thud. It was like a lot of stuff is going on. So I'm sitting up in bed and I'm hearing all this. No, I'm like, oh my God, get up. And I, you know, I'm kind of cautiously going through my apartment to, there's nothing out there. Get to the front door. What the hell was that? Cause it was so noisy and I could not for the life of me figure out what that was. I thought, well, maybe it was something in the hallway or I don't know. So I get up in the morning and, I already had, what I was going to wear out. So I had no reason to go in my closet. And I get ready for, and doing a morning show. So it's 4 a.m. And get up, go to work, come back later. And then I go in my closet later that day and everything is on the ground.
And then you're like,
Not neatly laid out like this, or at least the ghost had that sort of consideration, but just piled in everything everywhere. I had one of those like dry all bags that kind of get humidity out of rooms and closets, and that had like burst as well.
Oh, no.
The water part. So like there's like water on shit and oh, no. I'm just like, and in those, whatever was left of the beads as well, also kind of strewn around. I'm like, oh God. Well, okay. So then I looked, and it wasn't even screwed in with anchors. They just, somebody just put screws into the drywall for a closet.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay, that's lovely. So, anyway, that's my closet collapsing story and mysterious sound.
I got nothing like that.
Yeah. I thought I might have had a ghost story there for a moment.
Yeah.
But nope. Just shitty shitty craftsmanship as well. New somewhat seems years and much. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thanks for using my Baker Hotel caretaker story in a recent EPP episode. It was great to hear Tony's dulcet tones reading my words. You guys are great. Jenny, if you want a tour, I bet we could find a few spirits. Tony asked after the story if the hotel was still open. It is not. Waiting for you to stop me.
No, because I know you're going to get bored. You're going to get real tired of that shit.
There have been some grand plans, but none are feasible. It was a bit too far away from Dallas-Fort Worth. Unfortunately, the hotel will sit and decay. The reason I stopped doing tours out there was I didn't think it was completely safe. Large pieces of concrete had fallen from above the front entrance, large enough to do some serious damage to anyone unlucky enough to be below. The building was closed for tours soon after that. Brief background from the previous story. I was a news photographer at the time and did a video essay on the hotel and started doing tours on Saturdays and took a girlfriend out to see the hotel one night, and she had quite the ghostly experience. If you're an EPP, check it out. The episode is Woods Walk. If you aren't an EPP, join up. I wanted to follow up with one more story about the hotel that I didn't think fit into the previous story. More of a warning than anyone, than anything else. That story he's referencing, That I believe that's in our book, correct? Where he took the girlfriend to the hotel. And
yes.
Okay, yes. It's a good story.
It is a good story.
That's another story that is included in our new book, Real Ghost Stories. And more on that as we have, as it comes into us, as far as release date and such. But we got to see a copy or a PDF copy of it the other day. So it's underway. It's getting closer. It's getting, and it looks really good and creepy. And anyway, we'll have more on that as we know more on that. Continuing on, I was doing tours out there from 1992 to 1995. As I stated previously, I've been from the basement to the tower and never heard or saw anything unusual. I felt things for sure. I had a desk in the old accounting office on the mezzanine level that overlooked the ballrooms where I would do some writing. But around sunset, I knew it was time to close and get out. I just knew. Felt like when I locked up the front door that turned away the hotel would come alive. Ghost hunting in the 1990s wasn't unheard of, but it was definitely not the phenomenon it is today. In October of 2001, I was pitched the idea that the news desk to go back out to the Baker, do a ghost story for Halloween. I was looking for something easy to turn around and get out for local news coverage for the day. I'd seen a few newspaper articles on the Baker with paranormal investigators claiming that the hotel was very active. So anyway, we hooked up with one of the investigators to get his story. I was skeptical since I spent so much time there and still had a connection to the hotel. I felt like the hotel still was part of me, and I wanted to protect it. I knew there were spirits out there, but they had never tried to scare me. I did feel that sometimes I was warned away from certain areas, but looking back, it seems it was more out of concern for my safety. I'm sure there have always been dark presences there, but they seem to be kept in check by the good spirits. Anyway, we met with a young investigator who described all kinds of creepy and dark things that happened to his team while investigating the hotel. If they did happen, it tells me that the spirits, good or evil, did not want them there, or the method of investigating, like provoking, was not going over well. As Tony and Jenny have said, you're entering someone's post-death home. Imagine what these spirits think when a few unexperienced dimwits show up with voice recorders and video cameras and very little respect for the history of the hotel and its ghostly residents. This type of disrespect does not go over well for sure. One example the investigator gave us that floored me happened in the Rose Room. The Rose Room was an elite private club off the lobby that offered dinner and dancing. The room was amazing, with vaulted ceilings painted in a soft pink and squared-off pillars featured rose-colored mirrors. Suppose the rose-colored glass made women look prettier in the soft light. You know, the whole rose-colored glasses thing. I loved the room. It felt right. The only place that gave me the creeps was the bathroom. It was one of the only working bathrooms in the hotel. I know that restrooms seem to be a thread through a lot of stories. I didn't feel comfortable there. I may have only used it once. I seem to have warned off from that space. I always listened to my feelings when I was in the hotel. It served me well. The Rose Room has the largest heavy arched door you can imagine, some 9 feet tall and 6 inches thick. While the club was in its heyday, I'll bet the guests had the sense that they were going into a special place. The door was so heavy it was difficult to move, not because the hinges were corroded. It was just heavy. Well, back to the young paranormal investigator. After telling me a few run-of-the-mill encounters, you know, EVPs, orbs, he said they were in the Rose Room. They saw a solid, dark, swirling mist in the back of the room. Once they were aware of its presence, the black mass quickly moved across the room into their direction. They all ran as fast as they could out of the Rose Room, slamming the heavy door behind them. As they tried to catch their breath, a loud banging came from the other side. Strong, powerful, angry banging. As I said, this door is solid and 6 inches thick. You'd have to be a giant to make much more noise banging on that door. It'd be like hitting concrete. Obviously, these investigators had seriously pissed something off. I felt sorry for whatever entity was so enraged that they needed to be so violent. If this entity could pound on that door with such force, it could surely tear you into pieces. I guess the moral of the story is, if you want to go out and do some investigating, have some respect for the dead. You are a guest in someone's home. Treat the dead with honor, or you may just provoke the wrong entity. Be careful what you seek. Bottom line, don't be a douchebag.
I think that's good advice for anybody that's hoping to have an encounter.
Mm-hmm. I hate the douchebag investigators, where it's like, let's insult the ghost. Let's call him horrible names. Let's dress up like cowboys. say bro a lot. I shit you not. Somebody sent me a picture on Snapchat yesterday, and they just said, seriously? And it was one of the ghost investigating teams on TV dressed up like old Wild West cowboys. I don't know what the story was. I don't know if it was just like a quick little B-roll. I'm sure some producer said, hey, let's do this. And they said, okay. but the photo was just so like ridiculous looking. Completely out of context.
Maybe they thought by creating an environment.
Sure.
That they would stir something up.
I was thinking that too. And maybe that's the mindset. But again, with that, that's kind of, it's, I don't know. I don't know if that in itself is disrespectful. I just hate it where you see stuff like that, where it's the insults to the, it's like, okay, it's the same as being a jackass going into a home with people who are living.
Yeah.
You know, or someone, I mean, you have to almost think of it like that. You have to almost think of it as you're going into a place where if you're talking about living people, maybe someone who has difficulty speaking or expressing themselves. But if you rile them up enough, you may get them to do something, you know, or speak or do something of that you'll be aware of that shows that they're aware, you know. I think it's almost like that. And it's insulting. And I more respect needs to be had in that world. And a lot of people have it, but there's a lot of it out there where it's just there. Let's stir this shit up. Like, please be nice.
Right.
There's ways of getting stuff by being nice. Mm-hmm. But, you know. I don't know if it makes for ratings, though.
Well, and I think, too, sometimes paranormal stuff's kind of like a bottle of soda. You shake it, and it comes out, and there's no putting it back in.
Yeah.
It's like, why do that? Yeah. Mess it up forever.
Yeah. I agree. That's my soapbox moment for the day.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I do have to say, His story that he's referencing, the first one, when he took the girl he was dating to the hotel, I think that was, you know, it wasn't one of the super creepiest stories we've ever had on the show, but it was one that I remember more than others.
Sure.
It was just such a unique setting, such a unique experience. I put it probably in my top 10 of stories that we've had on the show. It was just cool. I love hearing a follow-up, so thank you for that. In fact, he sent in his video essay that he did.
Oh, he did?
Of
okay.
That, it's on an episode of Seeing Ghosts.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you which one. Probably 6 months back at this point. I don't know. So if you're an EPP, go through look up the episodes of Seeing Ghosts at ghostpodcast.com. And on one of them, you will find his video essay. And it's neat. I mean, it's a 1990s, you know, stuff, but you can see what he's talking about really visually with that hotel building. It's pretty cool. So anyway, 855-853-4802. Continuing on, Samantha writes in, Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello. I hope you all have a great week. I've been listening to the Real Ghost Stories Online all week. It's made me a little jumpy when people come up to my desk while my headphones are in. Okay, so I recently shared a story about my daughter seeing a scary man outside our window, and I wanted to follow up with another story from my son when he was younger. I have so many stories from the house I'm in and just around us all the time. I believe that my son is a sensitive and attracts spirits to our house, in addition to the ones that are already there. So let me get into the story. My children are 1 year and 3 days apart, and they currently share a room. My daughter has always slept in her own bed and rarely comes to sleep with me. My son has always hated to sleep alone in their room. He used to fight bedtime and would frequently cry so much that I put him in bed so that we both could get some rest. Around the time he was about 3, he's 7 now, still spends most nights in my bed. We lowered his bed to the toddler bed with no side so he could get in and out of his bed on his own. I quickly got used to my little man crawling into bed in the middle of the night and snuggling up beside me. One night I felt his little knees scooting across the covers, and then he stopped kind of kneeling in the middle of the bed looking at me. The room was extremely dark, and I could just barely make out the outline of his little body. I was groggy and trying to figure out what he was doing or if he needed something from me. Suddenly I heard him whisper, "Shh, my mommy is sleeping. Don't be so loud." I shot up and cut on the light. Then I felt a chill go down my back, but I couldn't see or hear anything. other than my toddler looking at me. We threw the covers over our head, and I left the lights on for the rest of the night. From that night on, I leave the hall light on and my door cracked open so that my baby can come in whenever he needs to. I think that the spirits talking to him only leave him alone when he is with me. I think this is because I'm a pagan and I wear several protection charms to ward unwanted contact. I also have now moved charms to my children's room and have a crystal for my son to carry.
I don't know what I would do if I woke up thinking there was two kids in my room and my little one saying to be quiet to one that's not there.
They have a friend.
No, that's not
a friend. It's a party.
No.
It's a toddler party. I don't know. I think you just kind of handle that delicately and, you know, where it's kind of like, okay, let's go back to bed now. Mm-hmm. Not, holy shit, you're seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
That would probably not.
No, can't like, do that one.
Later in life, you can be like, remember when you, yeah, by the way, that was a ghost. Pass the turkey. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Melissa writes in, the house I grew up in has offered up a lot of strange experiences. Not for me, but my family and even friends have had experiences. I'm from an urban part of Westchester. It's quite old and shares a history the rest of the Hudson Valley does. One of my stories involves a historic place which has its own ghost tales. I'll start with the most disconcerting story I've personally experienced. I share this one and say it's so scary because there were multiple people beside myself that witnessed it. It was also a more physical entity than anything else any of us had ever encountered in the house. On this night, my best friend and I were in the historic town of Sleepy Hollow, trespassing in Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, looking for Headless Horseman. The Headless Horseman Bridge that I'd recently heard through the grapevine was based on a real location within the cemetery. So my friend and I are slinking around in the cemetery for a while when we decide it's time to leave, as we started hearing strange noises, which we attributed to wild animals. On the drive back to my house, I get a frantic call from my mom and stepdad asking if I'm okay and to stop messing around. I was taken aback. I had no idea what was going on, and neither did my friend. My mom explained to me what had happened, and even thinking about it now sends chills down my spine. My mom and stepdad were in their bedroom watching a movie when they heard a knock at the door and someone using my voice to say, "Mom." When my mom called out what, there was no answer, and they continued watching the movie. Figured I'd walked away or left without waiting for an answer. It was a bratty teen. So a few minutes passed, and again a knock, and "Mom." Again, my mom calls back, "What, Mel?" and begins to get up out of bed, only to be startled at what was happening next. The door began to shake against the lock violently, back and forth, with enough force to rattle the door but not open it. At this point, my mom thought I was hurt, so she ran to open the door, only to find no one there. She became even more worried when she realized no one was in the room. No one was in the entire house. Not me, not my brothers or sisters, no one. And immediately called me, which is when I told her I was all the way in Sleepy Hollow, which is 30 minutes away from the house. There's no way it could have been me. My friend could vouch for me as well. At that point, I rushed home. My mom was all shook up, as was my stepdad, because what happened was very real and there was no explanation at all. We never did find out what it was that night.
I think something didn't want them playing around in Sleepy Hollow.
And it came back to the house to deliver the message?
To try and get them in trouble.
Sure. That's creepy. I'm ignorant here. I didn't realize that there really was like the Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, and I don't know much about that.
I thought it was more of just a tale, but I didn't know that there was like actual setting for this being a real location.
Sure. So,
and that could be maybe just being stupid, but feel free to enlighten me.
It's a different part of the country.
Everyone. Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing more about that. You know, I'm not a big Johnny Depp fan, but I did like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah?
I'm not a big fan of period movies either, but I did like Sleepy Hollow, and I don't know why.
We'll have to watch that one. I don't think I've seen that one.
It was creepy. It was just, a weird creepiness to the whole thing. And it's not even like super scary or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's the lighting. I don't know.
Could be.
But I did like it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Evelise writes in, hello again. I wrote over a year ago about my different experiences with my grandparents after each one of them died. Today, I'd like to get it off my chest, a story that even though my family is very open about the paranormal, I felt they would think I was trying to one-up them with this one and not believe me. Well, I must have been about 16 years old, and I remember it, and it was one hot summer night here in Puerto Rico. Summer heat is a real nightmare, especially when you have no AC. It was around 9 p.m., and I was bored and melting on the night heat, so I just went to bed without a hint of sleepiness. Me and my youngest sister slept in the master bedroom at the end of the hallway. I loved it because we had our own bathroom, and the room was furnished with bed, headboard, mirror, and my dad rescued and a border that my dad had rescued from the Hotel La Concha before they remodeled it. It's a vintage 1950s, 60s look that was lovely. So I'm in bed, staring at the walls, wide awake, with my back to the bathroom, which had always had the light, and I always had the light on, and the door cracked open about an inch. Am I saying border right here? B-O-U-D-I-O-D-O-I-R?
Boudoir.
Boudoir. I'm sorry. I was saying border. I thought it was like the French spelling of border.
Boudoir.
Boudoir. And a reflective surface with golden metallic stripes. It was horizontal. Suddenly, my bedroom door opened and I see the furniture's reflection. It's a big shadow coming inside the room. I thought it was my dad, but I found it weird as he walked all the way to my room to use a toilet since he had one right in front of his room. I noticed he did not close the bathroom door and I thought he didn't see me under the covers or maybe he was sleepwalking. I really didn't want to scare him or walk on him doing his business, so I waited about 5 to 10 minutes. Nothing happened. No noise, no flushing, no water running, nothing. So I turned around and called out for my dad, and there was no answer. So I get up to check, and there's nobody there. I was freaked out, so I went to my dad's bedroom, and I was snoring and drooling next to my mom, who was reading a book. I asked if she or him went to my room, but she said they had been there for a while. She asked if I was seeing stuff, and I said I was, so she told me to let it know that I wanted to sleep. I went back and lay down again, facing the boudoir, like always, when the door opens again, but this time I can see the door open and close at an abnormally fast-forward speed, like in the movies. This was particularly odd because I had vertical blinds in my room, and the windows were open, which created a vacuum effect when you opened the door so suddenly, but nothing moved. The blinds stayed in place. I continued to see the door open and closed for about 3 seconds, and it stopped midway, and then a shadow came out of the bathroom and went towards the door. I then told whatever was there to leave, and I never saw it again or gave any details of it to my mom, like she asked me anyway. I often wonder if the abnormal fast speed this thing used to manipulate the door is the same speed used to move things around when people claim they put something down and in a second it's in a different part of the house. This is the weirdest of my experiences. What do you think?
I think that's a good question about the speed.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that to show that this is not possible for somebody to be doing this other than paranormal mm-hmm. activity to be doing this. And then now you see it, now you don't stuff.
Yeah, or if that's just its normal speed.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered, like, when something is moved or things of that nature, like, is it done it like teleporting? Or is it some sort of ridiculous speed? And maybe this points in the direction of speed more than it does objects literally disappearing and reappearing David Copperfield style.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, become an EPP. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the program and video content and more. And keep us on the air. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Shelby says, hello, my name's Shelby. I'm from Vermont. I work at a retreat, which is a mental hospital in our town. Fun fact, I used to be called the Vermont Asylum for the Insane, which I find fascinating. I work down in the laundry room in the basement, which is part of the unrenovated portion of the retreat. I've only been working here about 5 to 6 months now. My story takes place a little while after I begin working here. One of the buildings are 4 floors, 3 of which are patient floors, and the 4th being barely used office space. To get to the 4th floor, you must take the elevator to the third floor and then walk up the stairs the rest of the way. The floor is set up so that there is a hallway with offices, a kitchen, and a bathroom along either side. The hallway then turns right to an open area and two more offices. Doctors do work there, but for the most part, it's unoccupied. My boss was showing me the floor so I could clean it as a housekeeper, like myself would do. We walked into the door and I saw someone turn the corner at the end of the hall and I thought, oh, someone must be working up here today. I didn't think anything of it and my boss left me to clean. I got the cart, started collecting trash out of each office, and as I made my way down to the end of the hall, I realized, I don't think anyone is actually up here. I then walked down the hall and around the corner expecting to see a person. I did not see anyone. I opened the doors of the two offices to make sure nobody was there, and it was then that I had realized I'd probably seen a ghost. Lunch was about to begin, so I made my way down to my coworker and told her about what had happened. Being a fan of ghosts as well, she suggested we go back up after lunch to check it out. As I was unlocking the door to the floor, she says, oh my God, I swear I just saw it go into that office. My coworker then runs into the open doorway, looks in, and ran back over to me saying in a frightened but excited voice, no one is in there. Let's get out of here. Later that day, we talked to our supervisors, and they told us one of the doctors had an office up there, and he hung himself a few years ago. It wasn't clear whether he hung himself on that floor or somewhere else, but I believe it was the ghost of the doctor that I saw that day. It was the first time I had seen a ghost, so I was excited. My mother and I had always been into the paranormal and ghosts, so I couldn't wait to tell her. Love listening to your podcasts while I work, even if I'm alone in the basement laundry room. Thanks again.
Could that have been true about the doctor, maybe?
Sure.
I just wonder, though. You know, a lot of these legends have the, and so-and-so killed themselves. And, you know, it's real hard to research suicides.
It is. And also in a building like that that's so old that had a lot of, you know, trauma in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always just the most recent death or something like that that could be causing it. You know, it could be something that someone that died outside of the building that's causing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there. Very difficult to narrow down until you like walk in there like, oh, well, hey, look, there's the ghost of him hanging or whatever, you know. And even then you can still go, is that really him or is this something darker, you know, using that as a catalyst to freak us out?
So I have no doubt that they saw a ghost. It's just it's hard to know if it was the doctor, somebody else. Yeah.
The identity is still in question. Thank you for sharing that story with us. That story. 855-853-4802, our number. Brigham writes in, hey guys. My name's Brigham. I'm from Illinois. I've always been thoroughly intrigued by the supernatural, unexplained, and unknown. Things like dreams, aliens, ghosts, all that stuff has always been a very hot topic for me. Luckily, I'm an extremely vivid dreamer. Bouts of sleep paralysis at least twice a week, some more intense than others, and have a plethora of supernatural events happen to me. Sadly, I've not seen any aliens or UFOs yet, but I'm hoping that one day that will change. Anyways, I wanted to start off by responding to a question you guys had asked on the podcast recently, an episode called Ghost Bullies. You guys had asked whether being unable to open your eyes in dreams was a common occurrence. I can assure you that it's very much a common occurrence, especially for those that struggle with sleep paralysis and experience intensely vivid dreams every night. I've had the eye-opening issue far too much and continue to have it. So to the caller that was having the issue, just know that you are not alone. On to my first explainable experience, let's rewind the clock a handful of years ago, back to when I was in elementary school. To set the stage, my mom lived and still lives in the second oldest house in my hometown. The home was built in 1850, so it has been around a while. It has also presumably been the resting place for a handful of people. Now, I never felt any negative energy in the home, neither has my brother, sister, or mother, although I do believe that there are a few spirits that remain within the confines of the walls. When I was a kid, I shared a bedroom with my younger brother. Our bedroom had a now old but then new radio and speaker that sat atop the dresser. I loved the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I know, a funny movie for a kid who also loved Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark. So my mom had gotten me the soundtrack. I would always listen to it as I went to sleep at night. I remember more than a couple of occasions where the volume on the set would start getting louder and louder. As a kid, I would think it was my mom standing from the hallway with a remote to the set just to mess around with me. I believe this even though there was no remote to the radio, my mom would never have been able to be in the hallway without me seeing her. Not to mention it was in the depths of the night, so my mom was more than likely than not sound asleep.
You might think it was because it was a radio and the signal was simply getting stronger and weaker every now and again. Like I said, however, the soundtrack had nothing to do with the radio side of the set, since it was its own CD. The radio set has not been in my room for very many years now, so I've not had the experience ever since. Another experience that I had as a kid was also in my bedroom. It was also at night. I slept on a bed that was quite high off the ground, so mostly anybody could crawl under it with ease. I've always had sleeping troubles, even as a kid, so I'd frequently find myself lying in my bed as a kid for many hours into the night, just trying to get to sleep. Well, there were a handful of nights that I think I was not alone in that bedroom. There were more than a few nights where I found myself lying in my bed, wide awake, and I'd feel my mattress be pushed up as if someone was underneath my bed, lying on their back and using their feet to push up against the bottom side of the mattress. This never scared me, and again, I never felt any sort of negative energy, but I do know that what I was experiencing was real. Over the years, I've concluded that it was most likely something supernatural, that it was most likely a child's spirit just trying to play with me. Since the house has been around for many years, it's likely that the child may have passed in the house. Coincidentally enough, as I grew older, the occurrences ceased. So it stands to reason that I grew older, the child's spirit no longer wanted to play with me since I was no longer a child like him or her. Well, those are my experiences for now. Please let me know what you think. Like I said before, I have many more, and I cannot wait to tell you guys some of the more chilling tales. Take care and keep up the incredible work.
You know, if he didn't allude to more stories coming, I would say maybe the sensitivity that you have during childhood kind of, you know, faded away, mm-hmm. and that's why he stopped having some things go on.
But it probably continued.
Yeah.
With other ghosts.
So maybe that ghost just got bored with him.
That's an interesting way to look at it, though, too, and I didn't really think of it that way very often, but yeah, growing up, with the child, the ghost child's not growing, mm-hmm. yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to next story. Hello, I've been listening to you guys recently. I'm so glad there's a community who share their experiences and their stories. I have one of my own. I'd like to start off to state that I suffer from sleep paralysis very often and usually when I'm stressed out about something in my life. So my story begins when my grandmother passed away in 2015 from complications with lung cancer. My grandmother has lived with my family since I was a young child, but I was never able to contact her emotionally or connect with her emotionally, and we would fight constantly. Later in life, I had a child of my own, and I moved back into my family's home. Since then, my grandmother became very attached to my daughter. It was almost as she took her as another opportunity in creating a relationship with a granddaughter. Never bothered me. If anything, it felt nice that she began to care, even late in life. When she passed away in 2015, it was hard for all of us since we never had anyone close to us pass away. It was harder for my 5-year-old daughter to understand death and accept that a loved one had passed away. About 2 weeks after her passing, I began to lucid dream. I was in my home and I saw my grandmother on her favorite chair. I approached her and asked her if she's doing all right. And she nodded and told me she was watching soap operas on the TV. I snapped out of the dream as quickly as I could after I heard her answer me, just because I was afraid I would go into sleep paralysis. It was a calm dream, and I didn't feel afraid. I felt like she came into my dream to let me know she was okay. Unfortunately, the very next night, I had sleep paralysis. All times I've had sleep paralysis, I feel or sense another person in the room with me, but I never see it. I'm just pinned to the bed, unable to move. This time it was different. I was lying on my stomach on the bed, facing the doorway, when I see my grandmother again. She had my daughter with her and screamed at me that she was going to take her away. She couldn't bear being alone, and my daughter needed to come with her. I couldn't move, scream, cry for help. I lay there helplessly. It wasn't until I tried to calm down and try to breathe smoother to let the paralysis subside. I woke up in tears, went to my daughter to check on her, and there she was, sound asleep. There were no more dreams after that, thankfully, but I sometimes think she left me alone for my daughter's sake. Thank you for reading my story. Keep doing what you guys are doing.
I think that might be the first one where the sleep paralysis terrorizing figure
mm-hmm.
is a relative.
Yeah, it's usually kind of an unknown figure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was just sleep paralysis, or do you think it was something paranormal going on?
It's hard to say, because I'm actually leaning more towards just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the whole not being able to move thing.
Sure. I mean, it's obviously she very vividly dreams until there's an actual connection on the other side where it's like, and then I got up and her, you know, ring was on my dresser or something.
Yeah.
Where there can be a connection into the real world. It's very difficult, no matter how vivid that dream is or how sleep paralysis and paralysis inducing the dream is, to say if it was not just a vivid dream and anxieties attacking you over your, you know, the weird relationship that was there between your daughter and the grandmother and your relationship and the grandmother. It could have just been that manifesting in a very, you know, troubling way. But if there are other connections there, do let us know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com to do that. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus material, all of our exclusive EPP bonus episodes, the episodes of Dream Meanings that are up there tomorrow on the show. We're going to do an exclusive playback of one of those full episodes for everybody, but all the other episodes that are up there as well to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com. So check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.